Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. You are listening to the only show that will give you what we need to do and the insights, academic support, whatever it is you need so that we can get the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution. Not sure how you feel about the fact that we have an out-of-control federal government spending more money than even you and I can work off. And there are ways of actually capping this. There are ways of getting on top of this. And so we first have to get you educated in understanding the Constitution in context to the framers. And the best way to do that is give you a crash course. And so before I tell you how to get that crash course, let's start with some obligatory sponsorships. This show is also sponsored by not just MobiusStripPress.com. As a matter of fact, if you want to support this show, you can go and buy my books. By all means, read them and provide a great review. And when I mean a great review, a good objective review. I mean, if there's things you don't agree with, things you don't like, then by all means, be objective about it, but just don't be personal. There's enough people grinding axes out there. And again, that contributes to what our real problem is. Our real problem is that we're not able to put aside our differences and our self-interest. So anyway, buying those books, 100% of those proceeds, if you buy them via PayPal off of MobiusStripPress.com, then you will actually, all those proceeds will go into this effort and help us pay back the money that we ended up having to spend going to Wyoming. And we do need to make a lot of trips this year. This is the first session of the 2 years. And so we need to get out there and we need to literally hit these states running so that we can get them up to speed and understand what needs to happen and then figure out where the pressures are and so forth. And then in the 2020 election, we will overcome those pressures, those obstacles, and what have you. And we'll get into all of that as we move forward in the next couple of years. So again, the number to call in is 215-867-8255. But I've got a lot to rattle off, so I may not pick up. But if you do want to call tomorrow, let me give you a heads up on tomorrow. I'm going to go through, just some words of wisdom on basic fundamentals of setting goals. There's way too many people that do not understand what it takes to set a goal and how to be successful. So what I want to do is just kind of go through that tomorrow. If you want a break from, this football, what do you want to call it? This potpourri of football, college, NFL, and all of that. And the funny thing is, as long as we have been working and as long as I've been involved, it just seems like athletics, entertainment, and those types of things are just becoming, gnats. They're just little buzzy bugs that are just flying around that they don't even disturb me anymore. It's not like bees and wasps and flies, bigger things that are distracting me and, having to shoo them away. I mean, it's just like they're becoming innocuous. And I'm hoping it's the same way for you. I'm hoping you're getting to a point where you recognize that they really are serving no purpose. We have a much bigger problem that we must get engaged in if we want to save liberty for our posterity. And so again, those obligatory sites that are sponsoring this show as well is reclaimingtherepublic.org, 1798part2.org, and republicreview.org. I do want to tell you that if you want to, like I said, if you want to get this crash course, if you want to immerse yourself and, get up, bone up on what Jefferson and the framers literally understood regarding our Constitution and the role the states had and so forth, you need to watch the first 30 minutes of the video or my presentation on YouTube. If you go to reclaimingtherepublic.org and on the Take Action page, if you go there, then all you've got to do is click on the link to YouTube, and then what you will have and what you will find is that 1.5 hour presentation. Just watch the first 30 minutes. That'll give you a crash course. The rest of it is questions and answers and very myopic information that helps a blue state, a county in a blue state, and what they need to do and how they could start working forward. They have a tough row to hoe. If you live in a blue state, you've got a tough row to hoe, period. That's why there's no way you're going to be able to overcome the odds that you have in really turning your state red. The only way you're going to turn your state red is focusing on the red states and getting them to protect you and take your state back. They're the only ones, and they are the only way that you are going to be able to save your state and this republic. I can go on and on and on, and I've got some good news. I had a great conversation with Senator Stalzer of South Dakota, Jim Stalzer, and he is he's getting boned up. He's learning the details. I mean, most all of this stuff, most of these guys are pretty well averse to, or not averse to, but they're pretty well attuned to, and they understand the problem, they understand the mechanisms, they understand most everything. It's just in a grand picture, the macro view, they just don't necessarily see the context of the contract, the compact, I should say, of the states, as well as the states stepping in and auditing it. It's just one of those things that eludes most people because we're always too focused on getting into the weeds. And in doing so, you lose the big picture. I also need to tell you that we have the crowdfunding set up on GoFundMe. If you just want to contribute some money to help us overcome the deficit that we have had in traveling out to Wyoming and having the successes that we've had, then, and we will disclose a lot of those later on this year. We're going to get into where we are in Wyoming and what we're doing probably, I'm thinking June or July timeframe. And so, yeah, there's a lot of shows and a lot of time between now and then, and I'll spoon feed you a little bit as we go. But this is really sensitive stuff, and we want to make sure that we get everybody on good, solid footings as they move forward without actually trying to count our eggs before they hatch. So anyway, if you've got some money, then we'd be happy to, receive that. And as a matter of fact, I'm convinced that if you do contribute, if you do help in some way, whether it be financially or actually personally getting involved, there's no doubt in my mind you will receive blessings. If you want challenges in your life, it will provide you that as well, because with blessings come challenges. There's no doubt in my mind on that. And so there's the other way of helping. Like I said, if you've got personal time, you've got computers, resources like a phone and so forth, then you'd be surprised how much you can help and how much you can accomplish if you get involved. And so send me an email. That's one of the ways you can get involved. info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. Another way you can get involved would be joining the Constitution Club by going to constitution.ning.com, and by going there, constitutionclub.ning.com, and by going there, you'll be able to get involved in some of the good things that Keith Broders and company will be doing. And so with that, I'll just thank you once again. Since it's the last day of the year, I do want to thank you for tuning in. I hope that what we have shared with you has helped expand your horizons and understandings and broaden your paradigm regarding the Constitution, and more importantly, broadening your paradigm regarding the role that the states have in oversight over the Constitution. This is big stuff, folks. This is, talking about the parents and the kids. we have to put this into context for you. The federal government is the child. They were created by the states. Prior to the ratification of the Constitution, the federal government did not exist. What existed was an inept and incompetent Continental Congress, and there's just no way they would have been able to do what they needed to do in moving forward. They were going to go bankrupt. They were literally going to fail. And so Madison recognized that, and that's one of the reasons why he did what he did in getting Washington. Actually, I believe he wrote a letter to Knox and pleaded with Knox because he knew Knox had a good relationship and was involved in the Society of Cincinnati that Washington was looking at getting involved in. And it was Madison who convinced Knox that, you know, because of the Shay Rebellion and all these other things, that they really needed Washington to make the legitimacy of this constitutional convention. And with that, I mean, so Madison was so instrumental in saving the Republic instead of watching it literally wither and die on the vine. I had a really interesting epiphany yesterday that I want to share with you, but I just don't think I've got the time to go through it since I've got fractions of a second. And so there you go. So anyway, what I'm going to do is when we come back, I'm going to kind of give you a macro view of our Revolutionary War. So please stay tuned, and when we get back, we'll do that. And then I think I'm going to jump into the paragraph on property. So please stay tuned. We'll be right back after this. Thank you so much. Are you a patriotic proprietor of a business that is looking to get exposure on a fast-growing program? How would you like to get exposure on the only program on the air that provides an actual constitutional solution to all the federal government overreach and encroachments? If you understand the importance of educating the electorate, we would love to work with you in growing your business and revenues while you support the airing of our content on this station. Your support goes to growing the reach of this show and does not pay for elaborate salaries or highfalutin lifestyles. The show is growing fast, and we're also planning on airing the content about Republic Review on a video medium soon. If you'd like to be a part of history and the growth of the most relevant and result-oriented show on the air anywhere in the world, then just email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can lock in exceptional pricing and great advertising opportunities. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with Republic Review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as Republic Review. Please read my argument for Republic Review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. And so when was the end of the Revolutionary War? Some people think 1783, yeah, 1782 after the final battle. I'm going to tell you that the end of the Revolutionary War really didn't end until the Treaty of Ghent. And that was, what, 1816, 1817, something like that. And the reason Britain never really relinquished. They never really succumbed. They just said, okay, you beat us in these battles. But they weren't done. They were doing anything and everything. And bottom line, they attacked us in the War of 1812. If you understand that between the end of the supposed, what everybody calls the Revolutionary War, Britain was capturing our commerce. They were impressing our sailors. They were harassing us in every turn possible. They were harassing us from the north in Canada and going into the Indian interior, into the territories, whatever you want to call it. They were not done, and they were not going to take a loss from the sniveling Americans who can't fight fair. And what they had to do is they had to regroup and they had to prepare themselves and they had to put themselves into positions to where they could overwhelm us. And they did the doggone good job. They literally burnt down Washington, D.C., our capital. And they did all sorts of mayhem and destruction in the War of 1812 when they came back and said, okay, let's finish this war now. Because if you want to call that first treaty, or I should say the first attempts of treaties from Paris and so forth, London, there were lots of attempts of treaties. And even though some were signed, never were they honored. And it wasn't until the Treaty of Ghent where Britain finally recognized that they just could not muster up what it would take to take this republic. We were just, it was too difficult to project force at that particular time. The ships weren't big enough. They didn't have the armaments, so forth. There were all sorts of little tactical issues. They had to literally create a huge army, and they just didn't have that ability. They had the ability to take over small, little nations. When I mean small, little, like Spain, France, that's why the British Empire was successful in harassing all these nations that were separated. The difference with our nation and why they could not beat us is because we were a collection of nations. We were independent sovereign states that united on very specific principles in delegating very limited powers to a general government, where the states were free to enjoy all the rest of the powers not delegated. And so as I was kind of thinking yesterday about, you know, the Star Spangled Banner and so forth, I know most people, when you listen to that, the Star Spangled Banner, I don't know if most people understand that that truly was the end of the revolution. The war that Sir Francis Scott Keyes was witnessing was right there at Fort McHenry in Maryland. The flag that he saw on that battle and the ramparts and all of that he talked about in that particular song was all about the paradigm and that point in time in the war. And it was a true resolve that Fort McHenry, was able to withstand the British attack. And they were able to basically repel them. And so every time the Brits came in, they could not come in and occupy land. And it wasn't, you know, the end of that war really didn't happen until Andrew Jackson, you know, kicked their butts down in the South. And so, as we know, with the song that gives credit to Andrew Jackson, we do understand that truly was the end, where America finally, my friends, America had so many concerns with these big bully nations that it wasn't until that point in time when America actually said, okay, none, no other nation shall molest us. And that's when we started growing in our britches, I should say, and we should say, because if you understand, the president that followed the end of the Revolutionary War was Monroe. James Madison was the president of the end of the Revolutionary War. And Monroe expanded the paradigm of liberty by creating the Monroe Doctrine. And at that point in time, the intent was not necessarily to be the police force of the world. It was just the police force of the hemisphere. But when people start talking about the police force, oh, we shouldn't be the police force of the world, we have a responsibility to ensure that our commerce flows freely without harassment, without impressing, and without hijacking, detention, or what have you, theft, piracy at the high seas, whatever you want to call it. We do have that responsibility. We don't have that responsibility to guard and ensure that other nations' goods can freely flow. How much do you think that's worth to them? Well, I think that there should be some level of tax based on the commerce that they flow if they benefit from our presence, and they are benefiting. But the point of the matter is that the concept of being a police force of the world began by one of the final framers. I think that John Quincy Adams is a close second to a final framer, but James Monroe was definitely the final framer. I think he was one of the last presidents that actually wore a wig, that had that paradigm of style, if you want to call it that. But the point is that people have the wrong connotation if we truly believe that we do not have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to our own economy and our own ability in commerce and ensuring that we can bring in raw goods and actually send our products and raw goods outwardly. And so to make America great, we still have a responsibility in doing that. And so I just wanted to share that with you. Now, I'm not going to have time to finish this paragraph, but I'm going to dive into this. And this is Madison's essay on property. If you do not understand what your property is, because it is currently being threatened, and I will get into that probably when we finish, but I just want you to understand that when these laws on transgenders, you know, being not being able to be called what they demand to be called, then they are stealing and taking away your property. And so you need to understand what property is. Property is not necessarily that tangible thing that you possess, you hold a deed or a title to, or that you hold in your hands or in your home. Property is something even more sacred and more special and grander than that. And so this is what Madison says, and this was what he wrote in 1792. This term, in its particular application, means that dominion which one man claims and exercises over the external things of the world in exclusion of every other individual. In its larger and juster meaning, it embraces everything to which a man may attach a value and have a right, and which leaves to everyone else the like advantage. In the former sense, and I want to go back on this, leaves to everyone else the like advantage. But when one person says that you can't say that, those words are unacceptable, and we are going to punish you for using those thoughts, those words, then it is no longer an equal advantage. It is no longer a inclusive thing. We are now living under tyranny when people are actually getting us to say, you can't say that. You can't call this a sin. How dare you? It is your God-given right to call things what they are, my friends. And he goes on and says, in the former sense, a man's land or merchandise or money is called his property. In the latter sense, a man has a property in his opinions and the free communication of them. he has a property of peculiar value in his religious opinions and in the profession and practice dictated by them. He has a property very dear to him in the safety and liberty of his person. He has an equal property in the free use of his faculties and free choice of the objects on which to employ them. In a word, a man is said to have a right to his property. He may be equally said, I will be right back after a word from our sponsors, but we're going to finish up this paragraph or this essay on property because it is the quintessential necessity, and it is paramount that you understand this so that nobody steals this from you. They're in the process of doing this. So we'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Thank you so much. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
And so let me move on. We just ended up with, he has an equal property in his free use of his faculties and free choice of the objects on which to employ them. And then this is where we left off. In a word, a man is said to have a right to his property. He may be equally said to have a property in his rights. In other words, when people start taking away your rights, they are taking away your property. It may not be a title, it may not be a deed, and it may not be a tangible thing, but when they say you don't have the right to do something, they have taken your property. Where an excess of power prevails, and this is so profound, pay attention. Where an excess of power prevails, property of no sort is duly respected. No man is safe in his opinions, his person, his faculties, or his possessions. Where there is an excess of liberty, the effect is the same, though from an opposite cause. Government is instituted to protect property of every sort.
as well that which lies in the various rights of individuals as that which the term particularly expresses. This being the end of government, the alone is a just government, which impartially secures to every man whatever is his own. According to this standard of merit, the praise of affording a just securing to property should be sparingly bestowed on a government which, however scrupulously guarding the possessions of individuals, does not protect them in the enjoyment and communication of their opinions, in which they have an equal and, in the estimation of some, a more valuable property. More sparingly should this phrase or praise be allowed to a government where a man's religious rights are violated by penalties or fettered by tests or taxed by hierarchy. Conscience is the most sacred of all property, other property depending in part on positive law, the exercise of that being a natural and an unalienable right to guard a man's house as his castle, to pay public and enforce private debts with the most exact faith, can give no title to invade a man's conscience, which is more sacred than his castle, or to hold from it that debt of protection for which the public faith is pledged by the very nature and original conditions of the social pact. He's talking about our government, our laws, our constitution. This is not a just government, nor is property secure under it, where the property which a man has in his personal safety and personal liberty is violated by arbitrary seizures of one class of citizens for the service of the rest. This right here, my friends, and I'm going to repeat this, is precisely what the LGBT agenda and even the Agenda 21 and all of these other secular, progressive, godless people are trying to ram down our throats. This is not a just government, nor is property secure under it, where the property which a man has in his personal safety, his personal liberty, is violated by arbitrary seizures of one class of citizens for the service of the rest. In other words, you're going to call us what we want you to call us, or we're going to come after you and take money from you. We'll throw you in jail. A magistrate issuing his warrants to press a gang would be, in his proper functions in Turkey or Indostan, under appellations proverbial of the most complete despotism. That is not a just government, nor is property secure under it, where arbitrary restrictions, exemptions, and monopolies deny to a part of its citizens that free use of their faculties and free choice of their occupations, which not only constitute their property in the general sense of the word, but are the means of acquiring property, strictly so called. What must be the spirit of legislation where a manufacturer of linen cloth is forbidden to bury his own child in linen shroud in order to favor his neighbor whose manufactures woolen cloth, where the manufacturer and wearer of woolen cloth are again forbidden the economical use of buttons of the material in favor of the manufacturer of buttons of other materials? This is what's being played out right now, my friends. And we're being told you can't do this, you have to use that, you have to use these things. This is exactly the tyranny we're living under. A just security to property is not afforded by that government under which unequal taxes oppress one species of property and reward another species, where arbitrary taxes invade the domestic sanctuaries of the rich and excessive taxes grind the faces of the poor, where the meanness and competitions of want are deemed an insufficient spur to labor, and taxes are again applied by an unfeeling policy as another spur in violation of that sacred property which heaven, in decreeing man to earn his bread by the sweat of his brow, kindly reserved to him in the small repose that could be spared from the supply of his necessities. If there be a government, then, which prides itself in maintaining the inviolable of property, which provides that none shall be taken directly, even for public use, without indemnification to the owner, and yet directly violates the property which individuals have in their opinions, their religion, their person, and their faculties, nay more, which indirectly violates their property in their actual possessions, in the labor that acquires their daily subsistence, and in the hallowed remnant of time which ought to relieve their fatigues and soothe their cares, the influence will have been anticipated that such a government is not a pattern for the United States. If the United States mean to obtain or deserve the full praise due to wise and just governments, they will equally respect the rights of property and the property in rights. They will rival the government that most sacredly guards the former by repelling its example in violating the latter, will make themselves a pattern to that and all other governments. And so I hope by sharing this with you that you understand how far we have gone in our government in actually trying to use social justice, in trying to use secular progressive paradigms, in trying to inflict and trying to literally manipulate us into positions to benefit the evil, the dark, and those who have, no right in taking away your rights so that they can feel better about themselves. I know it's a tough world. I know that there's lots of people that are, you know, ensconced in depression. I know that there are people that struggle all the time. But if you live a life that you make choices and you live the life the way you want to, there are consequences that come with that. If you choose to take on a sexual orientation that removes you from the ability to have children, then those are the consequences of that decision. Do not pervert our government in trying to make the rest of us make you feel better so that you don't have to live with your consequences of your decision. Do not make society. This is where the evil comes in, my friends. When we start using society to removing the consequences of individual behavior. You know, I don't know if how many of you realize the million, it's probably in the billions of dollars the government and other private institutions have spent, easily billions of dollars, on trying to eradicate AIDS and sexually transmitted diseases and so forth. Why? Why would we spend that kind of resources and that kind of money and time and effort over removing the consequences of that behavior? Why would we just not try to educate and motivate and try to help people understand that there are consequences? I remember when I was in the Marine Corps on a WestPac, and there was an individual that was not able to return back to the States with us because they had contracted at that point in time, I don't know if the person was ever able to, you know, come back, but they were on a medical hold. And I don't know if it was the Philippines, Thailand, or wherever they were at. it was one of our ports of call, but they were not allowed to return back to be with their family because they would be bringing in a disease that we don't have a cure for. And so that was a service member. And now scratch your head and tell me we're letting all sorts of illegals in and we have no screenings and no checks. This is insane. I'm at a hard break. I'll be right back, and I have some good news for you, and we'll go through it when we get back.
The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page, and you can become a listed supporter of Liberty. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. Okay, so I mentioned last Friday, and I kind of went through this, but I want to go through it again because I wanted to end the year and the program on a real good note, if you want to call it that. There has been a whole new lineup on the red states, as I've kind of told you. In the past, it was in this order. The top six red states were Wyoming, then Utah, then South Dakota, then Idaho, then North Dakota, and then Kansas. So those things have shifted, and they have shifted significantly. And when people were talking about a blue wave, and everybody was saying, oh, there was no blue wave. Are you kidding me? I'm telling you, there was a blue wave. And I'm telling you that that blue wave is probably more contributed to voter fraud, election fraud, and those types of things. And if Trump and his administration does not get involved in making our election process a legitimate and validated process, then we are going to really rue the day, because you cannot control your government if you cannot control your elections. And Stalin understood this. And that's why Stalin basically said he doesn't really care how the people vote. He only cares how their votes are counted, as long as it gives him the outcome that he needs. And so he cares about who controls the counts. And the progressives have entrenched themselves in this. That concept and ideology has come here to roost. And so we literally need some states to stand up. And there may be a mass migration to Wyoming. There may be a mass migration to these red states as I go through them. Because it is hopefully those states. But I'm telling you, when you start looking at the numbers, go into the number. I've got the numbers. If you want to look at them, I'll give you the numbers. Just let me know and I'll send them to you. That way you can compare and contrast what happened to Utah. Utah was the second most conservative state in the union, and it slid, and it slid pretty good. It didn't slide one or two seats. And this is the big picture. In representation, in the representatives, the Republicans held 3,064 seats in the representatives within the state houses. The Democrats held 2,352. After the 2018 election, the Republicans lost and the Democrats gained 261 seats. So what was perceived as basically almost a 700-seat, gap, a 700-seat gap in the states has been closed to barely just 150. That means that the 261 seats that the Democrats gained or took away from the Republicans closed that gap to about 150 seats. We're that close to actually tipping. The Senates in across the states in 2016, the Republicans held 1,102 seats. The Democrats held 800, or actually it was, I want to get the numbers right, it was 1,090 and it was 822. But the Senate's actually, so the Democrats actually gained 40 seats. So they went from 822 to 862. And what ended up happening was we've lost almost another 100 seats, or that 100 gap has been closed down to a very, very closer gap. And so hopefully in 2020, things will change if Trump holds these election processes into a much more, put integrity back in our elections. If he doesn't use his administration and the FEC to put what we would call integrity into our elections, then we're screwed. I mean, I hate to give you that kind of picture, but those of you who want to know who the leaders are. Utah did slide two seats. I'm sorry. I thought it was three. Wyoming is the number one, and South Dakota jumped up a seat to jump into the second slot. But I'm telling you that these states didn't gain much. I think Wyoming may have gained a seat. South Dakota gained a couple. I don't know about Idaho. Yeah, I'll have to look at all the numbers and tell you, but Utah, they lost a few seats. They were a number two, a solid number two, and slid two seats down. Arkansas slid up. I mean, Arkansas wasn't even on the horizon, and now they're the number five state. Oklahoma is number six. They weren't on the horizon either. They were down a few, so they jumped up. And the reason being is North Dakota and Kansas slid a ways. So it's Oklahoma, Tennessee, Alabama, Missouri, then Kansas. And look at the elections. Look at where Trump had some real contentions on governors and real contentions on other key races. Kansas was one of those races. Ohio was another one. And actually, Ohio came up. So something happened in Ohio that let them gain ground, but something bad happened in Kansas where they lost ground. So it goes from Missouri, Kansas to Indiana, then Ohio. Wisconsin actually is in a good spot. South Carolina, then North Dakota. North Dakota slid from the fifth seat to the 10. They slid 10 seats down. That's how many seats they lost in North Dakota. That's not good. Mississippi, Kentucky, Florida, Louisiana, West Virginia, Georgia, Montana, Alaska, Texas, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Iowa, Michigan, Arizona, Virginia, and Nebraska. And so Nebraska is actually higher up. I have to go in, like I said, Friday. I just have to spend the time to go in and do the analysis on each of the candidates to determine whether they're Republican or not, or whether they're conservative or not. The point I want to drive home here is that the good news is that we still have 32 states that are red. And if we start doing the analysis, and we will do the analysis, we'll be identifying what parts of these states were North Dakota, and it's probably in the high populated areas. If you understand, with a state that only has 500,000 people, you could probably shift and move 20,000 people into that state. And so let's say we want to put a business there, and we're going to bring in a lot of young kids that are going to be our employees. I just infiltrated all of my young employees, because they're predominantly going to be what? Democrats. Why? Because they're coming out of this education system, and the education system has completely, indoctrinated them into socialism. That's where we are at. And so as businesses decide to start moving into these red states that will favor them, they can actually come in, infiltrate, and convert and or change these states from a red state to a purple state to a blue state. And that's what we're seeing happening. I do believe that we might get the conversation going in South Dakota. I know we're going to have the conversation going in Idaho. We'll have the conversation beginning in hopefully Montana as well. But we will have the conversation in Wyoming. The conversation is getting, it's not even heated. It is, let's just say, embraced. I believe that there are people that are recognizing that, we don't need another organization. We need a solution. We need a process that will solve these problems. And I'm here to tell you that's why we're going to immerse you once again. That's why I highly recommend that you just go and watch that 30-minute video on reclaimingtherepublic.org. Go to that Take Action page. Just watch the first 30 minutes, and then go to reclaimingtherepublic.org. Right there on the homepage, I have the bullets so that you can kind of walk through the argument, and then you can walk through the process of how the audit kicks off and how it all of a sudden turns into a Republic review, where the Republic is actually identifying all the egregious violations and getting the federal government into compliance. It's not that difficult. We have been given a blessing that we can actually make the changes necessary in saving our Constitution without having to fire a shot. We don't have to go through a revolution. We just have to enforce the Constitution. And Jefferson was the first one that pinned this. Like Plato pinned the first concept of communism and statism and put that on paper, Jefferson was the first man to actually articulate that the states, or the people and the counties in the state, and in context to our Constitution, in his resolution, he said that the states must come together and create committees of correspondence. And that whole body is what Republic Review is. It is that process of putting the states together, going through the Constitution, identifying all of the violations, calling them all out, and then literally going to the federal government saying, look, where did we give you the authority to do this? Where did you receive the constitutional amendment to create all of these unconstitutional powers? And so, because you didn't, we're calling you out on it, we're taking them back, and you were going to have to fix this. And there are ways of doing that. We'll have those conversations later. I'm out of time. I will be back tomorrow. We're going to talk about how to set some goals. It's just some suggestions. But anyway, I'll be back tomorrow. God bless.
I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to, so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution.